Okay. Good evening. Welcome to part two of Hilchas Bishul. Welcome to all the people who are joining us for this new series and this evening for the first time. Hope you enjoy. Last week we introduced Malacha on Shabbos in general, and we talked last week that there are two possible sources, either those actions that are involved in the construction of the Mishkan, or not only in the construction, but even in the administration, in the avoda of the Mishkan. Then we spoke about, we finished off last week with something from Avadia. Let's say a person did borer by mistake. Well, before we talk about did borer, let's remind ourselves the three conditions that borer demands of us. And if somebody is missing any one of these three conditions, it will qualify as an iser mida oraisa. That means if you have two out of the three, it's asur d'oraisa. If you have one out of three, it's asur d'oraisa. If you have zero out of the three, it's asur d'oraisa. But if you have all three, then it's mutar l'chatchila. Again, those three things are that you have to, firstly, whatever separating you're doing, it has to be ochel mitoch ha'psoles, take the good from the bad, as opposed to vice versa. Secondly, you have to do it prior to when you need the food. Let's say you're doing something in the morning. You cannot separate in the morning for what you're going to do at Shalosh Shudas, even if you're doing it in the proper way. Ochel mitoch ha'psoles. That is for Shalosh Shudas. It has to be done right before Shalosh Shudas. If you're going to take a walk and then have Shalosh Shudas, you have to do it when you come back from your walk. That's miyad. It has to be immediate. And finally, whatever separation you are doing, ochel mitoch ha'psoles, and miyad immediately, you could only do it biyad with your hand and not with any special kli that's designed to separate like a sieve or a funnel or something of that sort. If you have all these three requirements, it's mutar l'chatchila. If you're missing any one of those three, it's asur mida oraisa. Which is why, in my mind, borer is probably more important to learn than Hilchas Bishul. Because in Hilchas Bishul, a lot of the things we talk about are Yisurim d'Rabbanan. Borer, if we're not careful about one of these pratim, it's going to end up being Isser d'Oraisa. So, Baruch Hashem, we're learning borer. We finished off, towards the end of last week, a scenario where, let's say, you want to separate something for Shalosh Shudas. Let's say for Shalosh Shudas, you want to serve cherry tomatoes. So you want to take out all the bad cherry tomatoes. You have a box of cherry tomatoes, and you pick out all the bad ones. Let's say there's a box of 20 or 30 cherry tomatoes, and there are three bad ones that are a little shmushy. And you take out the shmushy ones. And you do it right after lunch, because you want to take a nap, and you want to go for a walk, and you want it to be ready for Shalosh Shudas. So you violated borer. And then you say, but wait a second, what's the only problem that I had? I took out, let me rephrase that, I shouldn't have said that. Let me start again. I have a box of 25 cherry tomatoes. I took out the 22 good ones, like I was supposed to. The ochel mitoch ha'psoles, I left the three or four bad cherry tomatoes. And I did it with my hand, without any special instrument. The only problem that I was missing is that I didn't do it immediately prior to the eating. I did it in the early afternoon, intending to use these cherry tomatoes for Shalosh Shudas. So then I realized, oh my gosh, I just violated borer. Can I quickly eat it right now? Because the whole problem that I was missing is miyad, immediate consumption. It was for Shalosh Shudas. So I'll solve that problem. I'll just eat it now, and it will be for immediate consumption. So we saw from Avadi Yosef last week that most poskim say, sorry, buddy, you lost. You are out of luck. There is an opinion that Rabbi Avadia found who says that it does help to solve your problem, even although you already did it. The whole problem was that you didn't consume it right away. So consuming it right away will solve the problem. And therefore, since there is an opinion who says that, you might as well try to solve your problem by eating it right away. We finished off at the very end of last week just the one point of understanding. Why is it that if you have the three conditions that it does become mutter? So one perspective that's indicated by Rashi is that we know, when it comes to Shabbos at least, when we do a malacha b'shinui with some kind of alternate way of doing it, not the regular way, so usually that knocks something away from being d'oraisa to being d'rabbanan. So for example, you're going in an elevator for whatever reason on Shabbos, and you have to, whatever the circumstances are, where it's permitted under whatever circumstance, going to the hospital. So you still want to do it b'shinui, so you'll do it with your elbow, with your chin, with your nose, and any other body part other than your hand. That will be a shinui, and we'll knock it off from Doraisa to Darabanan. Similarly, I actually just heard a shiur today from Rabbi Sobolovsky. He pointed out, let's say on Shabbos, and this happens actually in the Heights quite often. I've gotten this shiloh a few times. Let's say there's a gas range that the fire went out, but the gas is still on. So not just the pilot light, but I'm saying where there's like a lot of gas coming out. Pilot light, I'm not sure about. It's a little less dangerous. But if the gas is on, it's on, let's say, it's on 2 or 3 or 4. So there's a lot of gas coming out, but there's no fire, so there's going to be a gas buildup in the house, which could be very dangerous potentially. So instead of turning off the gas with your hand because you're nervous about the danger, so do it with a shinui, do it with your elbow or something, maybe your toes or something creative. And if you have a guy, that might be better. But if not, then do a shinui. But again, a shinui just knocks it down from a daraisa to a darabanan. Here we're saying that if I do these three shinuyim from the normal way of when you want to, if you're doing an industrial borer, you want to pick out all the bad stuff from the good stuff in your farm. So you do it, you have a tool, and you do it for the market day 3 weeks from now, and you're doing it, you're taking out the garbage, you're taking out the psalas. But if you do all three shinuyim, so for some reason, instead of just knocking it from Doraisa to Darabanan, if you have a triple shinui, that somehow, at least in Hilchas Borer, makes it a super shinui, and that will actually make it mutar lechatchila. That was one way to understand why, if you have the three conditions, it will be mutar lechatchila. A different perspective in the Rishonim entirely is nothing to do with shinui. It's just that if you do something right before you eat, and you're doing it, taking the food that you want, and you're doing it with your hands, that's just how people eat. That's called derech achila. That's not a malacha. Borer is to do a malacha in an industrial way. If you're doing just the way people eat food in a normal eating kind of way, derech achila, that won't be borer. What qualifies derech achila? If you have these three categories, these three conditions, that will be considered derech achila. Okay, that was all last week, and now we will continue to new material. Any questions about last week? Terrific. Thank you to whoever gave me this water, whoever it is. Before we talk about the actual halachas of normal cases of borer, let's talk not about that I want this or I want that, but I just want to separate what I have. For example, I think we might have mentioned it last week, you're about to play Monopoly, you take your Monopoly out of the closet and all the chance cards. Am I mixing up my games? All the chance cards are mixed up, and all the property cards are mixed up, and all. My son was playing Monopoly last Shabbos, and his friend had a hotel on Boardwalk. Boardwalk, that's the last one, right? Park Avenue, and then... Yeah, so he had my neighbor, had a hotel on Boardwalk. It was like $1,000 just for landing there once. I felt so bad. So let's say he takes that out of the closet, and it's all the cards are mixed up, and you want to be able to separate the cards and set up the bank. So here, there's nothing good or bad. $100 is no better than a $1 bill because you just need all of the money available in the right spot for the banker to do his banking. And you need all the cards arranged by color, the blues and the whatever, all the property segments, whatever they're called, each neighborhood, I guess, separated so that you could easily, if you land on Boardwalk, you get your Boardwalk, or on Aberdeen Gardens, you get your Aberdeen Gardens. So that's sorting. It's not separating good. There's no good and there's no bad. So here, we have, just as a preface, how do we define good and bad? When we talk about ochel mitocha psolas, it doesn't mean something that's objectively garbage. It's whatever you don't want now is considered the garbage. So if right now you want, let's say right now you want... the raisins from the peanuts and raisins. So the raisins are considered the ochel, and the peanuts, even though peanuts are delicious to some other people, and sometimes to you as well, but right now you don't want the peanuts, so the peanuts are relegated to be psolas. The raisins are, of course, the ochel. Here, you don't have a psolas and you don't have an ochel. Everything's equal. You just have to set it up for the game. So there seems to be a Rambam who says that sorting itself, the Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, Perches, sounds like he says that sorting itself is borer. Even if there's no ochel, there's no psolas, it's a problem to sort itself. But however, if you're going to play the game right now, effectively, you're fulfilling the three tanaim. You're going to do it with your hands. You're going to separate. Let's say you have all of the money is all mishmashed. So you have the hundreds and the fifties and the singles and the tens, they're all mishmashed. But when you set up your bank, well, you're doing it with your hands. It's miyad because it's immediately before you play the game. And again, there's no ochel and psolas here, so you fulfilled ochel mitoch psolas. So you will be able to arrange the bank, set up the bank for your Monopoly game right before you play. But let's say at the end of the game you want to put it back. Now that you're putting it back, you want to make it neat so that it's ready for next time. Forgetting any hachana issues, just putting it back is going to be not miyad, and therefore will be a problem. So therefore you can set up your Monopoly money before the game, but not after the game. Before the game is miyad, after the game is not miyad. Similarly, again, I might have mentioned this last week, I don't remember. If Friday night, the playroom, the living room, wherever the kids play, the den is full of toys all over the place, and you want to neaten it up and put all the Lego in the Lego box, and the clicks in the clicks box, and the magnetiles in the magnetile box, and whatever other, the regular blocks in the block box, then if you're doing it now, there's nothing that's ochel, there's nothing that's psolas. You just want everything back where it should be, in the right boxes. So that's sorting, but without an ochel and a psolas. So here, since it's for tomorrow morning, so the kids will know where to go tomorrow, that's not miyad. And therefore, that will not be permitted on Friday night after the kids are sleeping to get the room ready for tomorrow, to get the blocks ready for tomorrow. If you want your room clean, push them all in a corner. If you want them in their boxes, that you can only do right before the kids play. So if in the morning, as the kids are coming to the den, and they're going to want to know, they're only going to play if things are orderly, so then right before they come to play, you could put the clicks in the clicks box and everything in their block, because there's no ochel mitoch hapsolas, everything is equal. You don't want anything right now. You just want it sorted. And you're doing it with your hands, and you're doing it for immediate use, the child's going to play with it right now. Questions, a bunch of them. Yeah.
So, you're
thank you. That's something that we're not going to talk about till next week. Hopefully, what defines a tarovas, what defines a mixture. Right. If there's a pile of clicks, and then a foot away there's a pile of Lego, and a foot away there's a pile of blocks, that's not a tarovas. There's no mixture, so you could, of course, clean it up. But I guess you've never been to my house. You have been to my house, so unless we cleaned before you came. Yeah. Alisa. Yeah.
So can you not tell your kids to clean up before?
That's a great question. Okay, if you want me to lie down with you, put away the Lego. That's your question. And by doing that, I'm effectively saying he's going to have to pick that Lego up from in between all the other things. So I'm telling my son to do a malacha, which is and it's a deraisa for me. It's one of the aseres hadibros, right? You know, Allah, ata v'hemtecha, bincha, bitcha, v'hemtecha, right? That's aseres hadibros says that you can't tell your child to do malacha on Shabbos. So I'm not telling him to do malacha. I'm telling him to clean up the Lego. Oh, clean up the Lego. I'm telling him to turn on the light. No, I have to think about that. If the house is in a situation, if the Lego is mixed up with other things in a situation that it would be borer, can I tell my son or my daughter to clean it up? They're not intending to do borer. They're just putting away the Lego. It's a good question. We have to follow up on that because that's very nogeh halacha lemaisa. It sounds like the kind of thing I did last week. Yeah, oh yeah, it's great for the kid. Yeah.
In the event that you want to use the room immediately.
Use the room or use the blocks?
The room.
Then sweep it all into the corner and put a blanket on top of it. We do it all the time. If you want the room clean, so you could clean the room without doing borer. Mm-hmm. Throw it all into one big box. But you don't want it, but throw it all into one box. You want to put the Lego into the Lego box. You want to put the blocks into the block box. You want to put the magnetiles into the magnetile box. That's not because you want your room clean. That's because you want each thing in the right. You want to separate and do your borer for next time they're going to play. I think. that would be a problem. If you want your room clean, pour it all into a big box. Your room's clean.
Let's say in the event that you cannot push in the corner, and there's literally nowhere else for the stuff to go except in their boxes. There's literally nowhere else.
I'd have to work on it. I'd have to think it out.
Okay. Not sure. Have to put the cloth so they only fit in their box?
Let's say.
Okay, I'd have to figure that out. And I don't. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Conceptually, I hear the question. I'd have to figure it out. Any other questions on this side? Yeah.
Just about asking your kids to clean up. But I don't see why that would be an issue unless you're directly telling them to clean up.
Clean up those Legos. Otherwise, I will not lie down with you. That's direct.
No, but you can't. But there's a bunch of toys around on the floor. You just tell them.
If I just say clean up the room, and that means I have to be satisfied with them pouring it all into a box.
Right.
I hear that. On the other hand, one could argue that if in my house saying clean up the Lego block, the Legos means putting them into the Lego box, that is telling them, and I just say the words clean up. Well, the words clean up in my house means put it in the Lego box. So I don't know the answer. I have to figure it out.
If your kids are old enough to understand, clean up the, just put them, shove them all into one box.
So then it might be okay. But then anyway, they might do that.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I think it would be better to ask a guy to do it, yes. Whenever you have an option to do a malacha knocked down to a drabbanon like Bishinoi, it is always better, I think, to ask an andrew to do it, yes. Is turning off the gas a drabbanon such an isser? I have to think about that. But if it would be an isser, it would be always better to ask a guy to do something rather than doing Bishinoi, and certainly better than asking your child to do it, because you're not allowed to ask your child to do malacha. Great question. Great question. Okay, that is a great question. That is going to be the topic of what constitutes miyad, what constitutes immediate consumption. That's not going to be tonight, and it's not going to be next week. It'll be either the third week or a fourth week, I think. But that's a very good question, because there are going to be a lot of issues that we have to say, like how much before is lunch, we're saying, is... To prepare it at 2 o'clock after lunch for Shalosh Shuras, that I said is a problem. It's not for immediate consumption. What about at 5 o'clock and Shalosh Shuras is at 6 o'clock? What about right before Mincha and then you want to go to Mincha and have Shalosh Shuras right away? That we'll have to talk about when we get to that topic. Excellent question. So that we'll talk about. Unless if it's happening this week, I'll let you know. But otherwise, we'll have to talk about when we get there in 3 weeks. That's a very good question. But just as a general rule, if you want to prepare at 9 o'clock and then go to shul and then have your meal at noon, which is when you're going to have your meal, that will be asr, d'oraisa.
Because you're not going to have time, like there isn't going to be time in between, like when you get home and lunch to do anything. Like,
that is correct. Even if you don't have time, well, you just have to start the meal later or not go to shul, whatever the other option is, but yes. So that is not considered adjacent to the meal. That will not be considered miyad, and that will be probably an asr d'oraisa. Yeah. Excellent point. That's not a halacha of miyad. That's just a question of hachana. Meaning, am I violating hachana? Am I preparing for tomorrow? No, I might need it this afternoon. That's a different issue entirely. And that's right, that's not borrowed. That's just hachana. Hachana, if you might use it this afternoon, so you're not preparing for Sunday. I'm preparing for eventualities of what might happen. You know, we might need it for Shalosh Shuras. That's not hachana, because I need it for today. This is a different issue entirely. A specific halacha where you need it to be miyad, immediately consumed. Excellent point, though. Okay, let us... A few weeks ago, my daughter was playing at a neighbor who happens to be one of the Rosh Yeshiva in our yeshiva, so it just makes things worse. And she apparently was in one of the side... like the side room where... like the office kind of room, and somehow she got to like a file cabinet and I guess emptied it out. So would we... be able to quickly, let's assume the pages weren't mukta, let's say they're not like financial documents, which would possibly be mukta, let's say they're just, I don't know, let's say he's writing a sefer, for example, and I don't think this is the case, but let's say he has written svarim, but let's say it's now, there's, you know, in his sheets that start usually go in order from 1 till, let's say, 200, they're now random. So could I sort out the sheets quickly before anyone comes in the room and I feel very embarrassed? So the halacha would be, here, since you're not doing it for any use right now, again, there's no ochel, there's no psoas. Page 1 is no more significant than page 87. Page 87 is no more or less significant than page 143. So there's no ochel and psoas. I'm certainly doing it with my hands, but it's not to use now. Let's say he wanted to, you know, learn his not yet published sefer from beginning to end right now as he's walking into the room. There we would be able to sort the pages and put them in order. But that's not, if that weren't the case, which it usually will not be the case, one is not going to be permitted to sort those papers. Similarly, let's say in the olden days, before they did, before we had digital cameras and our entire albums were digital, and they actually had paper, you know, Kodak square pieces, rectangle pieces of paper with pictures on them, and let's say you had a pile of pictures from camp. So you want to, like, you know, my bunk and me and my best friend and me and my used to be best friend and me and my new best friend and separate them like that. That would also be borer because, again, there's no ochel, there's no psoles. Your new best friend is better than your old best friend, but that doesn't make the picture the ochel. So there's no ochel, there's no psoles. You're doing it with your hands, but you're not, you don't need that album to be the way it has to be right now. You just have time, Shabbos afternoon, so you want to go through your pictures. So sorting your pictures, that will not constitute miyad, and that will be a problem on Shabbos. Yes?
In the first place of the sefer that got all mixed up, can you say, okay, it's all spelled out now, so I want to read every two words between page 1 and 2, and page 2 and 3, and so on. As a way to get around.
Yeah, you are allowed to create, what's a good word for this? Yeah, in Hebrew it's harama. What's a good English word for that? What?
Workaround.
Artificial necessity. Yeah, that's all correct. Yeah, you could make up, you could, like, we'll talk about cases that, you know, Ramosha Feinstein suggests in different scenarios where you could sort of create for yourself a scenario where you want, engineer a situation that will work for your best interest. You can do that. Is permitted. I think it has to be reasonable. If to read two words on a page is probably meaningless, but to read the first paragraph, for whatever reason, the book is written in order, and you want to know, you want to be introduced to this topic that he's writing about in order, that would be okay. Even though you aren't planning on reading any books right now, you're planning on, I don't know, taking a nap. Okay, let's move on. That was just a general talking about sorting where there's no clear ochel, there's no clear psoles. Now let's sort of begin Hilchos Borer and talk about what is Borer and what's specifically what I want to talk about is first understand what Borer is conceptually and then talk about, well, I have an ochel and I have a psoles. When is something considered to be all the same? And therefore, take whatever you want, they're all the same. And when are things considered to be actually different, and I have to discern, I want this and not that, that's considered 2 minim or 1 min, 1 min, that we'll do in a minute. First, conceptually, what is borer? And let me ask you a very important question. Actually, let me ask you what borer is, and then I'll tell you why it's going to be important for me to know. And again, this is not practical. Right now, we're going to do something very theoretical. And based on the theoretical perspective, we're going to apply it and see it's a very halach lamaisa, this theoretical chakira investigation. Is borer the fact that you're creating a result where things are now separated, sorted, put in their places? Or is borer not a prohibition to create a result, it's an action. The Torah says do not do an act that separates two things, one from another. What's the difference if you say the problem is the act of separating or the result of getting something separated? Either way, you're doing the same thing. You're separating to get it separated. The following. Does anyone hear the two sides of the coin? Either the prohibition is the act of separating, or it's not the act, it's the result that the Torah doesn't want you to have. What's the difference? What's the nafkamina, whether it's one or the other? Well, let's say you have your raisin and nut mixture. They don't have raisin and nut mixtures anymore, right? When we were kids, they all had them? Okay. They still exist? Okay, trail mixes. Thank you. Right. The trail mixes now have craisins and have, like, papaya chunks and mango bits. In the olden days, when trail mix was peanuts and raisins, so let's say there are 50 peanuts for every 50 raisins. I once bought in Costco, they had this mixed Kirkland-like fruit, dried fruit packs, and it's supposed to, and there's peaches in there, and there's like apricots, and it's really good. I got a bag that was like three-quarters plums, prunes. Anyway, that's just, I don't know, I'm sorry. I'm just talking about trail mixes and dried fruit. I got distracted. So I have my 50 raisins and my 50 peanuts. And I take out, I don't like peanuts because peanut oils and you know what I mean. So I take out 47 of those peanuts. There's still three peanuts left. I don't want the peanuts. Remember, the peanuts are the psalts. I took the psalts out of the ochel. So what did I do? When I took all 47 of those peanuts out, was I doing borer? Well, it depends. If borer is an act, did I do an act of borer of taking what I don't want out? Yes, I violated borer. But if we say that borer is not the act of separation, rather it's creating a result where I have a separation. I have peanuts over here and I have raisins over there. I didn't accomplish that. And if therefore we say that the iser of borer is the result, then I didn't do anything wrong because I didn't create a result of separation of the two minim. Well, these two perspectives, and therefore the application, whether it will be okay to separate something 85%, but not totally, is actually machlokas, the Talmud Bavli, and the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that we look at the result. The result is something has to be completely separated. And therefore, if you separate it, but it doesn't end up separating them completely, that wasn't borer. However, the Talmud Bavli, and by the way, just a general rule, we always paskin like the Talmud Bavli against the Talmud Yerushalmi. Even if you're not Persian, we still follow the Talmud Bavli. Follow the Talmud Bavli. The Talmud Bavli assumes the other way, that it's the act that the Torah prohibited, the act of separating, and you did an act of separating those 47 peanuts. Oh, you didn't accomplish anything, because there's still peanuts in your trail mix. You just wanted raisins, you didn't want trail mix. It doesn't matter. You did an act of separating. Okay, now we know that the halacha of borer is the Torah doesn't want me to do an act of separating. Now we could start learning Hilchas Borer. Hilchas Borer as follows. I have a mixture. What is going to be defined as a mixture? How close do things have to be? That's what you asked. Like, let's say there's just a pile over here and a pile over there, and never the piles shall meet. That's not a mixture. How mixed do they have to be to qualify a mixture? That we will talk about next week. What I want to talk about today is what happens when things are very similar. Are they considered one category or two categories? And we're going to talk about different color socks. We'll talk about white meat and dark meat. We'll talk about different kinds of chicken in a sauce, and chicken, dry roasted chicken. We'll talk about all those things right now. What qualifies two different minim to be subject to the prohibition of borer? So here the Shulchan Aruch tells us, all of Hilchas Borer, by the way, is in Shin Yud Tes in Aruch Chaim 3:19. So whenever I say Shulchan Aruch or Mishnah Berurah, all of that will be part of Siman Shin Yud Tes. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have two kinds of fish, the two different kinds of fish, you see, you have salmon and tilapia, that is considered two different minim, and therefore if you have a plate where there are two trays of fish that they're all close together, pieces that are close together such that they're mixed, then you wanted to take off the tilapia because you don't like tilapia, you like salmon, so that would be a problem of borer because that's two different minim. However, let's say, says the Shulchan Aruch, you just want to take off the small pieces and leave the big pieces because you want to, you didn't realize, but like some important guest is coming. So you don't want all those like small pieces on the plate. You just want nice chatichas haru'yos l'skabi, fancy good pieces on the plate. So you're going to take off all the small pieces, whether it's tilapia or it's salmon. You just want the small pieces off. What you don't want off. Is that okay? 100% mutter. Why? You don't want them. Because size is not a definition of min, of species, of type, of category. Size is just the size of the tilapia, the size of the salmon. The two minim that we're talking about is tilapia versus salmon. So therefore, you are permitted to take out psolos mitocha ochal, those small pieces that you don't want, because small pieces and big pieces is not what defines something as two different minim, as two different species. If you take out the tilapias, that's going to be a problem, because you don't want the tilapia. That's the second point that the Shulchan Aruch says. Question? Yeah, sorry. If you ask me, I would assume that Duplo and Lego are two different types. How do I know that? Because one they call Duplo and one they call Lego. They don't call it big Lego and small Lego. If within small Lego, there are big pieces and small pieces, and you have, let's say, there's a baby, and you want to remove all the small pieces. So you want all the small pieces away. So wait, what do you want? You want to... leave, you only want there to be left here the big pieces. So you want to remove the bad things. You want to remove small pieces so the baby doesn't choke on it. I think that would be a great application. Yeah, you're removing the small pieces. You don't care. They're all the same. It's all the same min. It's all Lego. It all has the same purpose. I don't care if it's a steering wheel or the head of the Lego or one of the walkie-talkies. Anything that's small, I don't want there to be. So you're going to take all the small pieces out. I think that's okay. I don't want them here. They're bad. They're my psellus. Yeah, but I'm not separating between two species. And that, I think, will be permitted, even though you're taking out what you don't want. That's an excellent application. Yes, 100%. Okay. Next point that the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, now we just distinguish between small and big. We said that small and big is not going to qualify as creating two different species, two minim. However, what happens when I have a bunch of socks? Black sports socks. I have black sports socks, and my 3-year-old son has the same brand, Hanes Comfort Tech 100% cotton black sports socks. So I have them in a pile, and my 3-year-old son has the same brand, same kind of sock, same black color in the pile. So what's the difference between them? They're big and they're small. So does that mean that I'm now going to be able to, let's say I want to get rid of all of his socks. I just want my socks. So I get rid of all of his socks. So I pull out all the small socks because that's just differentiating between big and small? Well, here there's a caveat. Here, the size is not just it's the same thing but a different size. The size makes it have a different purpose. Even though it's a Comfort Tech 100% cotton black sports sock, but if it's a size 3, that's for a 3-year-old. If it's a size 17, no, not a size 17. If it's a size 13, I am a size 13. If it's a size 13, that's in case anybody wants to buy me socks, you know what size sock I am. Okay. So if it's a size 13, that's a totally different purpose than a size 3 sock. And therefore, although they're just differentiated in size, here it does constitute making it two different meaning, two different species, because they have two different purposes. Let's say, for example, let's say there's a certain kind of I don't know enough about women's hairpins, but let's say there are different size hairpins and one you'd use for a braid and one you'd use for a ponytail or something like that. I don't know these things. I don't have sisters and it's all new to me once, now that I've... if it would be the same kind of pin, but different in size, if it's just a difference in size, but then no difference in tachlis, in use, so then you could take out even what you don't want. There's no borer because they're not two species, two minim. If, however, the size, this is the kind of thing, this is big, so you use it for a ponytail. This is small, so you use it for a braid or whatever else, and therefore there's a different purpose, then even size will be significant because, again, it's not the size that's significant, it's the purpose. It's a different purposed item or set of items, and that will be considered two different minim, two different species, and therefore, yes, subject to the halachas of borer. Any questions about that? Yes.
Following the example about the pointer holders, what happens if one of the two minim is cross functional? I mean, you have really really small plastic ones that can only hold little braids, and you have larger ones that can hold a full pony or a braid. Would that be considered borer to separate them?
That's a good question. I mean, you have a bunch of they're identical other than in size.
Yes.
But I guess one has different. I think that I don't know the answer. I could hear that it would be a problem because there is a different purpose. There's an added purpose to one of the species, one of the sets. So I could see that it is a problem, but I'm not for sure. Okay. Next point. So how are we going to define? We talked about if something is the same exact thing, but a different size, we don't care about size. When something's different, then we care, it's two different species. How do I define something being two species? Roast chicken and boiled chicken, corned beef and tongue, is that the same? It's not the same. What about tongue in a sweet sauce and just plain, you know, deli tongue? Is that the same thing or not the same thing? What about, of course, you know, the classic question of dark meat or white meat? So here, I found, what's that? We'll get there. We'll see. Pepsi or Coke, 100%. Yeah, Pepsi or Coke, that is actually important. So I found somebody, the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is a commentary, there's the Shulchan Aruch. On the side of the Shulchan Aruch, there are the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. On the commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a commentary on the commentary. That's the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim has a one-line definition. Umahu shnei minim. What is the definition of two minim? Answers the Prima Gadim. Two words. Kol shechalukin, anything that is separated, either b'ta'aman, with their flavor, or b'shman, with their shame, with their name. They have a different title, like Duplo versus Lego is a different name. Or, as far as food goes, they have a different flavor. I guess a different use also, if it's not food. So if we could find foods that have a different flavor, that, says the Prima Gadim, would qualify as a two different minim. So that's going to open up a question. Granny Smith, yeah, I have a pile of Granny Smith apples and Macintoshes and Fujis and Cortlands and Golden Delicious and Red Delicious and Golden, you know what I'm talking about, the yellow ones. I have a pile of those, and I don't like those yellow ones. Can I remove the yellow ones and have the ones that I do like in the pile? They're all apples. Let's take it a step further. Somebody makes an apple salad. Just apples, nothing else. And there are all these different apples, and I don't like the yellow, the ones with the yellow peel, it's a different texture, they're not as crunchy, it's a little softer, I don't like it. So can I take out all those pieces of the yellow, the Golden Delicious apples? They're all apples, they're all the same name. Do they all have the same taste? Do they not all have the same taste? You're nodding, you're shaking your head, you're saying they don't have the same name. One's a Cortland, one's a Macintosh, one's a Fuji.
The reason why you don't like it is because it's a different taste.
I hear that. And you're saying that that would be enough of a different taste to be considered a different taste. That's a good point.
You just like green better than red.
That could also be. But either way, I don't know the answer to this question I just asked. The Prima Gadim actually talks about tapuchim chamutzim, bitter apples. Sour apples is better. Better translation. Sour apples as opposed to regular apples. So I'm not sure what he means by sour apples. He might mean Granny Smith's. I have a feeling he means crab apples. If he means crab apples, he's not sure if crab apples and regular apples are going to be considered, there's a barrier between crab apples and regular apples. He's unsure. They're apples, one is sour, one is not sour. If he's talking about crab apples, then I assume Granny Smith's and Macintosh's are definitely going to be okay. The only problem is if one's a crab apple, they're really sour. Granny Smith, they have like a little, they're not sour, they have a little, I won't say kick, you know, when you think kick, you don't think apples. It has a little tartness, right. They're not chamutzim. So the Prima Gadim is uncertain if you have crab apples and regular apples, if that would be considered two different flavors. I don't actually know if he's talking about the flavor or the... they definitely have different flavors. Or the name. They're both apples. Okay, let's take... That's just an important definition. Anything that has a different name, a different title, is considered a separate min. And separately, anything that has a different flavor is considered a separate min. The problem is there has to be a real separate flavor. So we'll talk about chicken tops and bottoms in a minute, but yes. You're saying Cortland's apples are good for baking and Fuji apples are good for eating. I will have you know that last week we had Fuji apples for baked apples and they were fabulous. Even though Fuji apples are more eating apples than baking apples. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't think that would be considered a different purpose. I would say Lego and Duplo, that's a great example. One is for kids like 3 and under, one is like for kids 4 and up. If I give my 8-year-old Duplo, he'd be very unhappy. If I'd give my baby Lego, she'd choke on it. So that would be a different purpose. I don't think we consider, like, Cortlands are usually baked and Macintoshes are usually eaten raw. I don't know if that would be considered different purposes. It's a good question. Like, if it's exclusively that way, then maybe you're right. Could be.
How about, like, juicing oranges?
Juiced oranges as opposed to real oranges.
Oranges are 100%.
Right. Juice oranges as opposed to navel oranges, eating oranges. So it's funny that I haven't seen that in the post. I'm sure the post can talk about that explicitly. I didn't see them talk about this, so I'm going to wait till I see what they say. But if you asked me, well, they're both oranges, but one's called a juice, and the other's kind of a navel. The taste is somewhat similar. The texture is a little bit different. The taste is relatively similar, but if they have a different name, that's enough to make it a separate species. So I'll have to research. Could you please text that to me or email that to me, and I'll try to follow up. I'm sure the post can deal with that explicitly, because that's something that's very, very no gay. So let's talk about, yes. I don't think, no, food that's edible is not going to be muktzah. I've eaten juice oranges, and I'm here to talk about it. So, yeah, Alana. That we'll talk about when we talk about the halachas of your hand. Okay, that will be either before or after miyad, we'll talk about biyad. But that's not tonight or next week. Yeah. Excellent color. Let's say it's an identical flavor, identical purpose, just a different color.
Like, or like, you know, when you're talking about, like, 20,000 more, like, it's exactly the same thing. You specifically, let's say you're wearing black that day, or you're wearing red.
It's okay. You don't have to get too... That's a very good question. So I didn't see them talking about ponytail. You know, Moshe Feinstein actually does not have a tshuva about ponytail holders. Holders, bows, what is, I don't even know the word. But he does have a tshuva about exactly your question about socks, different colored socks. So I ask you, if you're wearing I'm gonna get myself in trouble here. If you are wearing an outfit, tell me something, two colors that don't match. If you're wearing a red outfit, no one wears, but now I wear a red outfit. Okay, if you're wearing a red outfit and you want to get rid of all those pink socks in the laundry basket because you want to find your red socks to match, or your black socks, right? You don't want a red because it's going to be a different red. Okay, well, clash. So you want to get rid of the pink socks from the laundry basket so you could dig down to find your black socks. So they're all size 10 socks. And they're all shaped the same. They're all the same brand. They're all identical. They're only difference in color. That's what Ramosha was asked. And Ramosha says it's clearly a different min because you wouldn't use it in the same way you use the other one. You don't use a pink sock the same way you use a black sock. A pink sock cannot go with your coral outfit or your red outfit or your orange outfit. But your black sock will. And therefore, they're different minim. That Ramosha does say explicitly. Okay. If only Ramosha was alive today, we'd be able to ask him about the ponytail holders. Okay. Next point that the Mishnah Berurah makes, also in Shin Yud Tes. Let's say we have our... Let's talk about I have salmon. I have pieces of salmon. Only salmon, only baked salmon. They're all baked with the same. I have a little, whatever, barbecue sauce on top or whatever, however you make your salmon. And all the pieces are made the same. They look the same. Some got a little burnt. The ones that were in the back of the oven got burnt. The ones that are in the front of the oven, I guess it's not as hot, however my oven is configured, and they didn't burn. So now can I separate, let's say they're mixed up on a plate, can I remove the burnt ones? Because I'm serving guests, I'll leave the burnt ones for me to eat on Sunday night, you know, just me and my family, and for the guests, for Shabbos lunch, I'll serve the nice ones. So can I remove the burnt ones and just serve the nice ones? So, is that psoles? But is it a different min? It's salmon, baked salmon. The same kind of baked salmon. Just, it's a burnt baked salmon. So here the Mishnah Berurah says, if some of them are not as, if it's the same min, but some are not as good as others, for example, some of them were burnt, says the Mishnah Berurah, that will be a problem. That will be usur. And I will not be allowed to take the burnt ones out and leave the good ones. Here, we have to be a little bit more subtle in our understanding. There's a great Yid who lives in Bnei Brak, Rav Nissen Karelitz, Shlita, and he has a series of svarim entitled Chut Shani, and he has one of his halakim is on Hilchas Shabbos, and he points out that when the Mishnah Berurah says that something is burnt, that has to be burnt. It doesn't just mean that there's some that are like a little more black on top, a little more browned or blackened on top, but it's totally fine. It has to be burnt that it's qualitatively more inferior, so you're taking out the inferior bad pieces. If it's just they're not as good, some are fresher, some are softer, some are better, but they're not that there's anything wrong or bad with them, then it will not qualify as bara, as two different minim. So for example, he says, let's say you have a bag with challah rolls. Some are challah rolls that you bought on Friday, and some are challah rolls that you bought on Wednesday from the 2 days ago baking, or pita breads or something like that. So there are fresher and less fresh. None of them are hard and stale and spoiled and rotten. It's just some are more fresh, some are less fresh. That's not considered to be two minim. There, I could take out, if I want, the ones from Wednesday that were baked, Wednesday morning. I could take those out, the ones I don't want, and leave for myself only the ones that I do want, the ones that were baked on Erev Shabbos. That I can do because, a difference in freshness, they're both edible, they're both fine, none of them are bad. That is not considered two separate minim. When is it, yes, considered two separate minim? When the Wednesday ones are already stale and they're hard. Then we'd apply the idea of the Mishnah Berurah that something's burnt. Burnt meaning it's bad because it's burnt. Not just it's not as fresh, it's not as soft. That's how we would consider defining things if they're not the same quality. So for a similar application, Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa, he talks about Bor and Perek Gimel. So in Perek Gimel, Halacha Chafei, he talks about, let's say you have, again, your plate of salmon. There are some, it's not filet of salmon, it's salmon with the bones. Let's say there are certain pieces of salmon that have a little more bones and other pieces that have less bones. So you want to serve the ones, certainly on Shabbos, that have fewer bones. So you're going to take out the ones, all baked the same, it's all salmon, but you're going to take out the ones that have more bones on it. Because that's not what you want for Shabbos, certainly for your guests and certainly on Shabbos. You leave the bony ones for a weekday when it's easier to do other bara, which we'll talk about a different time. So can you take out those pieces of salmon that have more bones in them, remove them because you don't want it, and leave the slices of salmon that have fewer bones on the plate? Says Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that here you can remove those more bony pieces of salmon because they're not two minim. The ones with bones, are they lower quality? Are they burnt? Are they bad? Are they stale? They're just not as good. So if it's a question of being not as good, but there's nothing wrong with them, that will not make it a separate min. If there's a problem with something, you want to remove the bad ones, the spoiled, the crushed tomatoes, the shmushed tomatoes, or the shmushed grapes. There's something wrong with those. You want to take those out. That's, even though it's the same min, that's a problem. And if something is burnt and really burnt or something stale, that's a problem. But if it's just different qualities of how good it is, some's better than others, some's good but not as good as others, that's not different enough and therefore will not qualify as two minim. Yes. I have a great example. That's exactly what I was going to say. Right. So I think you just answered the question. Is there anyone here who doesn't peel oranges on Shabbos? Okay, I guess everyone peels oranges on Shabbos, and therefore you can remove the outside if you have to access what's inside. And we'll actually see more applications in terms of what you're talking about. You're really asking, let's say you go to the drawer in your fridge where the fruits are, and you know there was a kiwi somewhere. You saw it. The problem is your mother went shopping on Friday morning, and she poured all the new fruit on the top, and she didn't buy kiwis. But you know there was a kiwi there. You need that kiwi. So could you dig out all the other things that you don't want to get to that kiwi on the bottom? That the halacha is, it will be permitted, because, again, you're not separating what you don't want. You're removing them because they're covering over what you do want. And that will be okay. That's what the mission, that's going to be, that's on page 12. We're only up to page 11. Okay. Thank you. That is correct. The Mishnah Berurah, so I'll just repeat myself in 3 minutes to say, make your point. The Mishnah Berurah adds, this is all one Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Yud Tes. He talks about the tapuchim, chamutzim, umitukim, apples that are sweet and tart or sour. I wish I knew what he was talking about. He says it's unclear whether or not this is 1 min or 2 minim. So certainly, I really don't know if he's talking about crab apples or Granny Smith, and I think it's very important to know. He does add that if imachmat chamitzuto ein ra'u le'achol, if something is so bitter, so tart that it's not edible, let's say you have a crab apple that's really sour, or really sour apples, that would clearly be psolus, and that clearly would be two different minim. But if something is similar, they're edible, but it's just, they're both apples, they're just one sweet, one sour, and I have to find out I'm sure the contemporary posts can talk about this question, so maybe when I look up the oranges, you can remind me to also check up Granny Smith's and red apples. Okay, moving ahead, let's say I have roasted chicken and I have chicken from the soup, boiled chicken. So I have them both on a plate, you could have whatever you want. I have two kinds of chicken. So could you remove what you don't want and take what you do want? Here the Mishnah Berurah says that these are, even though it's chicken, it could be the same Henrietta. Part of her made it into the soup, the other part of her made it into the roasting pan. Same poor girl, just in different places, and she ends up as a split personality. And in fact, therefore, it will be considered two different minim. And obviously, concludes the Mishnah Berurah, if you have two different kinds of chickens, two different kinds of birds, you have chicken versus turkey, that is two minim, chicken versus duck, duck versus turkey, those are two different minim, even though they all have wings and flap and say tweet tweet. Now we get to the real issues, chicken tops and chicken bottoms. So I know this is a very hot topic. Baruch Hashem, you know, when you date for a long time, it's sometimes hard to figure out, you know, where are you supposed to be similar to the person with whom you're encountering and where it's better to, like, be different and complement one another. So I found in my own personal life that this symbiotic relationship that I have in my family of the fact that I do not like white and my wife does not like dark, it works very well because we could buy a whole chicken and it will pretty much get taken care of. I will only eat the dark meat, my wife will only eat the white meat. So this is a very important question. Unfortunately, it's a machlokas. So Shlomo Zalman says that dark wheat versus white meat is considered two minim, and it would be borer if there was a plate of chicken and my wife gets the plate, she's going to move all, and she wants to move all that dark meat out of the way so she could, you know, more easily get to her white meat. That would be a problem. And if I want to move all of her white meat to the side so I can get my polka, that would also be a problem. However, Rabbi Yashiv, and actually I was speaking to Rabbi Schechter last week, he assumes that all chicken is chicken, and therefore it is one min, and therefore we don't consider dark versus white meat different enough to qualify. That's not, yes, it's a little bit of a different flavor, but that's not a different flavor. No one's going to think like, oh, you had chicken for lunch, somebody else had like ice cream, they tasted similar. No, those are two things that are very different. Chicken that's dark and chicken that's white, and the proof is that my kids don't have that distinction between dark and white. They know it's chicken is chicken. I like chicken or I don't like chicken. My son was on a kick and he didn't like chicken for a year and a half, so it didn't matter if it was dark or white, he just didn't eat chicken. I think that might be though because he saw a shchita video or something. Don't show shchita videos to children before under certain ages. And he actually kept it for like a year and a half. Almost 2 years, actually. Yes, question.
If they are two different meanings, if you have them on a plate and you need to move one over to get to the
That's right. That's why I was a little bit careful the way I said. If it's the only way, if one's covering the other and you have to access, remove the top to access the bottom, that's you're correct. You're allowed to do that. I'm talking about like just pushing it.
You just have like, if one is covering the other and your wife likes the white meat and you like the dark meat.
So if you each stick your fork at the same time, that would solve all the problems, right? Yes, last question because I think time is getting up.
What about two different types of dark or two different types of white?
Meaning there's a wing and there's a pulki, so they're both dark meat, but
same case, but two different names.
You call it a drumstick?
No, I'm saying...
I call it a pulki?
I'm saying it's like two different meat. I'm like, it's the same taste, but like they're qualified by like different...
Give me that. What do you mean?
Like a leg.
Meaning the leg and the thigh.
Yeah, yeah.
The thigh is the extension of the leg, and the bottom is the whole thing.
Right.
It's a little different. Like I think that's subtle. And if again, this is my personal thing. I think it's subtle enough of a difference. It's such a subtle, tiny distinction that I don't like white meat. I know I don't like white meat. It's too dry for me. But I'm happy with a pulki and I'm happy with a thigh. So it's hard for me to consider them two minim. If you find somebody who just says, oh my gosh, I could only eat pulkis, but I can't, you know, drumsticks, I can't eat thighs, we'd have to revisit it.
So is two minim in terms of taste subjective?
Great question. I think that in the world, the world has told us that they consider white meat to taste different than dark meat from the fact that whenever you buy, the whole point of paying more for chicken breast, which has cost twice as much money as chicken thighs, I don't think it's just the fact that there are no bones in it. I don't think it's that. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's the fact that people, there's a sophisticated palate that appreciates white meat more. I don't understand it, but that's what I would assume. That could also be. That would also be a hard thing to consider out halachically. Okay, so Bezus Hashem, next time we talked about socks, and next time we'll talk about silverware, how to set the table, and of course the very troubling issue is you go to like an Oneg Friday night or like a Shalom Zachar or a Shavuot Brachos on Shabbos and they say, oh, just throw your jacket on the bed, on that second bed in that room over there, and you got there early, unfortunately. And you come back 40 minutes later and there are 25 coats sitting on top of your jacket, so how are you allowed to go home that night? That we will talk about, with a jacket that night. So that we'll talk about Bezus Hashem next week.